Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of studies out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio and have a Bible ready as we take a deeper look in the book.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are, the God who hears and you still answer prayers. Lord, speak to our hearts this evening in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. All right. Let me call your attention to the book of Acts. The book of Acts will be our study this evening. We're working our way through the New Testament, and we have finished the Gospels books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why do we have four Gospels? Can anybody tell me why do we even have four Gospels? I mean, isn't one book enough about Jesus Christ? Because the four Gospels are dealing with the life of Christ. Isn't one book good enough?
No.
But why do we need four?
Because there's different aspects of his life. And so each book describes different aspects of his life.
Different aspect. Help me now. All right. Such as the book of Matthew shows Jesus as king. The book of Mark shows him as a perfect servant. And Luke shows him as a perfect man. And John shows him as God in flesh. Amen. Amen. So it's kind of like looking at him from four different angles. So if you would, a lot of times when they've taken a picture of a person, they'll take a picture from the front, a picture from the side, a picture from the other side, and a picture from the other side, the back side. And so that's kind of what you have when you look at the four Gospels. You're looking at Jesus from all different angles. All right, and so now we come to the book of Acts. We come to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the title of the book. The title of the book. What is the title of your book? What do yours say? What do yours say? Do yours say the Acts, or do yours say Acts, or do yours say the Acts of the Apostles? Yours say the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. Oh, do anybody just say Acts? Acts. Amen. All right. Okay. So we got some that says Acts. Some says the Acts of the Apostles. In the Greek manuscript, you would just see one word there. It would just be Acts. Acts, which shows action. Action. The actions. And because actions will send, then who's doing the action? And so some Bibles says, okay, we're talking about the apostles, the actions of the apostles. And so that's why you see in some Bibles, it says the Acts of the Apostles. But in the Greek manuscripts, it's just Acts. It's just Acts. Some theologians would have a problem with the Acts of the Apostles, because in all actuality, the book of Acts can be divided. The first 12 chapters, for the most part, you see the action of Peter, for the most part. Their emphasis is on Peter. And then from chapter 13 to the end of the book, the emphasis is on Paul. And so for the most part, you see those two apostles. Now, some theologians, they give a third view. They say it's more or less the acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the action of the Holy Spirit. That's really what you see, the action of the Holy Spirit. And I guess if I had to throw my little 2 cents in, that's probably the route that I would go. The action of the Holy Spirit. And you will see the Holy Spirit working through Peter, James, Paul. You would see him working through Barnabas. You would see him working through Silas. You would see him just working throughout the book of Acts. And so whether they're an apostle, whether they're not an apostle, you will see him working, 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 working. All right, so that's the title of the book. That's the title of the book. The author of the book. Who is the author of this book? Who's the author? The author of this book is Luke, who is the author also of the Gospel of Luke. So, and we know this because he opens both of these books in the same way, for the most part. He's writing, and he's writing a letter to Theophilus. Help me on that. Theophilus, yes. He's trying to give him an account of the life of Jesus in the book of Luke. And here in Acts, he's trying to show from the time that Jesus was resurrected all the way to how the gospel got to the end of the earth. And so he's trying to show the spread of the gospel. All right, the purpose and theme of the book. This book shows how men's and women's took the Great Commission seriously. Yeah. What is the Great Commission? What is the Great Commission? Matthew what? Yeah. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus says, "All authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded thee. And lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the age." And so Jesus gave them the marching order to take the gospel to the whole world. And that word nation basically is a word ekna, which is we get our word ethnic group. And so Jesus is saying, take the gospel to every ethnic group. In other words, he's breaking down even the nation. Yeah, to every ethnic group, because it's over 200 and some different ethnics just right here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Yeah, so you got a lot of work right here. When I go to like mission conference or down to the Dallas Baptist Association down there, the director always remind us, he says, hey, Dallas is a mission field. If you want to do mission work, you can just do mission work right here in Dallas, because the world has come to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Yeah, yeah. All right, so isn't that something? So since we won't go to the world, God is bringing the world to us. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. All right, all right, all right. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And in all actuality, at the close of every of the synoptic gospel, the three synoptic gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the close of those three gospels, you have the Great Commission. At the close of Matthew, Mark, Luke, you have the Great Commission. You don't have it at the end of John, but you have it at the end of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So it's repeated three times. Amen. And so the purpose of this book is to show how men's and women's took the Great Commission seriously, and how over one generation, they took the gospel from Jerusalem to the remotest part of the world in one generation. Think about that. Within 40 years, after Jesus had left, they had taken the gospel to the known world. To the world that they knew of. Hey, isn't that something? That's powerful. And they done it without a cell phone, a fax, an email. A what now? A car, an airplane. Amen. Now you think about it. For the most part, Paul and them, they walked everywhere they went. Wow. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. It's amazing. Amen. Why do you think God allowed them to do that in that day and age without any modern technology? To do what now? Speak up a little bit. God allowed that to happen so that us today, we ain't got no excuse. See, the Bible is our model. Today, we think that we got to have all kind of modern stuff in order to get the gospel out. No. Look at how they did. Jesus didn't even have a donkey. And he walked everywhere he went. Just like when people came to Jesus and say, hey, we need you to come over here to Capernaum. Jesus may have been in the other side of Galilee, but he had to walk 25 miles to go and heal somebody. Now, you think about that. We got cars. Amen. And can you just bring the medicine over? We just want you to just bring the medicine over. Can you stop by the pharmacies and pick up the medicine and bring the medicine here? Hello, somebody. And we got a car, and we can go 25 miles, in less than 30 minutes in the car. Now, you think about it. Jesus, that's a whole day. You can go 20 miles in one day. So that's going to take Jesus a day and a little more, a day and a fourth to go 25 miles. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And that wasn't part of his schedule. That was more or less an interruption. Lord, have mercy. That's love. God was trying to show us what a person will do with love. Amen. So when we stand before the Lord and we're not going to be able to have no excuse. Because God said, listen, in your day and age, you could at least got picked up the telephone. Hello, and checked on somebody. Hello, you could at least send them a text. You didn't even send them a text. You see what I'm saying? So we're not going to have no excuse when we stand before the Lord. And listen, why is God giving us all this modern technology? It's for the furtherance of the gospel. Look at the Lord's Prayer. Just look at your Lord's Prayer. You start the Lord's Prayer by looking at God's person. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is set aside like nobody else's name. Hallowed be thy name. And then you start with God's program. Thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. Now, in order for me to work your program, God, I move to the third part. Give us this day our daily bread, you see, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those. And see, that's right there in the prayer. You're asking God to forgive you just like you've forgiven others. Lord, have mercy. And just think on judgment day, God is going to say, listen, I wanted to forgive you, but you told me not to forgive you and treat you just like I treated others, how you treated others. And you didn't forgive others, so I can't forgive you. I mean, that's what you told me in your prayer. Yeah, you told me, forgive me, my trespass, just like I'm forgiving others. You put that clause in there. You didn't even realize you put the clause in there, did you? So you are praying, but you are praying that God give you, supply your physical needs as well as your spiritual needs, and then to even protect you from the evil one, the devil. Yeah. You're asking him to do all of that so that you can help in bringing his kingdom. See, whenever you ask God for something in prayer, you got to always put this three-letter word in there. Why? Whenever you ask God something, why? Why should God give it to you? Is it for his kingdom or is it to build your kingdom? Is it for his agenda? Because, see, keep in mind, God only does things for his agenda, for his will. He's only obligated to his will. See, that's why David says, look at the Lord's Prayer. Look at the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down, green pastures. He lead me where? He restores my soul. Then he leads me where?
In the path of righteousness.
For who?
In his name.
For him. For, as one translation, for his reputation. God does things for his glory, to put Jesus on display. He's not interested in putting you on display.
Right.
Because your glory is a fading glory. God don't want folks to be connected to something that's going to die out.
Right.
And dry out. Yeah. He wants you to plug into something that's going to always be there. And he's the only one that's going to always be there. See, our light is like the moonlight. The moonlight don't really have no intrinsic light of itself.
Right.
The moonlight is just a mirror. It's a reflective light from the sun. And because it's angled at a certain way, it is able to reflect that light from the sun. And that's how we are. We ain't got really no light in and of ourselves, but the light is a reflective light. If I'm positioning myself right, then people can see the light of God in and through me. You see? Lord have mercy. Yeah. So It's all about God. This thing is bigger than us. It's all about God. It's all about God. Amen. But they done that. Think about it. They done it in 40. They were serious. Yeah. Yeah. They sold houses. They sold anything that was going to slow them down. See, what the devil want to do today, the devil want to load you up with stuff. Now you got responsibility where you can't go. Yeah. I told my wife, even right from the beginning, we got to dress light. We got to pack light. We got to, because if God called us to go do something, we got to be ready to move at a moment notice. Yeah. So I don't want something that's going to, you know, tie me down for a long time and stuff and what have you. You know, we bought our house, went on and paid it on off. Hair up, go on and let's double up. Let's get it. Because debt means bondage. Yeah. See, a lot of missionaries, they travel light. They dress light. They just stay in apartments and stuff. Yeah, because they ready to move at moment's notice and stuff. Yeah. All right, let's go on. Let's go on a little bit. Amen. Key verse. Also, let me throw this phrase in here right at the end, the theme and purpose. The book of Acts is the historical link between the Gospels and the epistles. You got the Gospels over here. Then you got the epistles over here. Okay. What is the Gospels? Okay, the Gospel tells us about the life of Christ. Okay? That's the life of Christ. We have the man, the mission, and the ministry of Jesus in the Gospel. We got the man, you'll learn about that man, you'll learn about his mission, and you'll learn about his ministry, how he did it. When you come over to the epistles, that's the letters. The word epistles means letters. So you have the letters now to the church, the letters to the church, and it's instructions on how the church ought to operate. How many of you know we just don't operate a church like we want to? No. The Bible gives us guidelines over in the epistles on how the church ought to function. All right. But you had a period of time before the epistles was written. You have like a bridge then. That's what Acts is. Acts is your bridge between the Gospels and the epistles. That's your bridge. So it's a transitional period. All right? I'm taking time now. It's a transitional period. A lot of things that you see happen in
If you would like a copy of the study that you have just heard in its entirety, would you please call the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or visit our new website at alookinthebook.com. Again, that is alookinthebook.com. And come by and visit us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bobaway Community Baptist Church. And remember, until next time, take a deeper look in the book.